a few words on our next speaker, Andreas Diekmann, a living legend of empirical social research and one of the leading figures in analytical empirical sociology since decades. Andreas was professor at the ETH Zurich and is now senior professor of sociology at the University of Leipzig. He has an impressive track record mainly in the fields of game theory, survey methodology, and environmental sociology. Andreas often contributes to public debates based on sociological research by writing for newspapers in Switzerland and Germany. Please welcome Andreas with his talk on trust, trade, and technology. Andreas.
Yeah, thank you very much, Thomas, for your kind exaggerations. trust, trade, and technology, tildes and temperamenta, alliteration. I start with an example from a paradise of trust. And this is a small farm booth where they sell agrarian products, honey and so on, and they have an honesty box and customers put in some money to buy it. And the farmer's family was so kind to make available their books, accounting books, and what we see is there is completely balanced. There is even week number 9, there is even more money in the box than was required by the buying the products. So this is a world of trust in the Luzerne area. But of course, as you can know, this is not the normal state of the world. The problem is that almost all transactions involve a trust problem. And there are two reasons. We do not know the quality of the product which might be delivered to us as a buyer. And the transaction is sequential. Either the seller has a moral hazard problem that the buyer won't pay, or the other way around, that we don't get the product from the seller as a buyer. So this is the reason why trust institutions emerge. And I understand trust institutions are technologies in a wide sense, also social technologies, to solve trust problems. And I think digital process data open a lot of new opportunities to study the evolution and functioning of institutions and alternative regulations. By the way, this is also in some way a digression and causal analysis, as Sophie before downplayed this a bit. I mean, this is also important in the research, as she surely will admit, that we get understanding on causal processes. And this is, so to say, institutional sociology, I can say. The evolution of institutions, to study the evolution of institutions and to design institutions and to study the causal effects of various types of institutional regulations. And the internet is a great opportunity for studying these processes. Here's a wonderful example. This is an offline example by the economist group at ETH from Gottschalk, Mimra, Weibel. And they sent student tester to 180 dentists in the canton of Zurich, to 180 dentists. They were all diagnosed independently by several dentists, and they were completely healthy, at least concerning their teeth. There was no treatment at all necessary. And what happens with these 180 dentists? Almost 30% of them recommended fillings, from 1 to 6 fillings, average costs, unnecessary costs of 535 Swiss francs. And there's the extreme case, he recommended 6 fillings. Yeah, just 250, good bargain, but it's not necessary. just 1,005, he claims 1,500 for this. So you can see there are maybe two motives or two factors, incompetence, of course, maybe partly, but also cheating, because there is a conflict of interest. Yeah. And a trust problem, if you enter a plane, you trust the competence of the pilot, but there's no conflict of interest. But if you go to a doctor, there's both competence and maybe a conflict of interest. So a double trust problem, so to say. So in more formal terms, this is a trust game with asymmetric information. We have two groups of people. There are the nice guys, the honest guys, and there are the dishonest guys. So I don't want to go too much into detail here. The path we would like is we meet an honest seller, we trust him, and he reciprocates, and we both have a bargain. But if we meet a cheater, then, and we trust him, he will exploit us, and it's good for him but bad for us. So if there is a small proportion of cheaters, we can deal with it. Okay, we can tolerate it. But if the threshold is surpassed, and we can compute the threshold, we call it the Coleman threshold, in this case, we are better off just to make no bargains at all, or what would happen in such a situation, you can predict that trust institutions will emerge if there are too many cheaters in this situation. And there are basically, I think, this nice scheme, there are three elements, so to say, the basic principles I can build together to a trust institution or technology. There is a method of restriction. It means just maybe a deposit or commitment device or law and courts, but with a lot of bureaucracy. The other way is repetition, repeated games, the evolution of cooperation by repeated games. Then we are here, we start a diet of the same traders or actors start here, and they follow the whole process. They look forward, or the other way is reputation. Then we are here in stage 3 in this example, and we look backward, and there are different truster changes in every round. And we rely on information from third-party information. And this is a reputation solution, and the reputation solution is very important on internet markets. So by Douglas North, the institutional economist, there's this nice citation, throughout history, institutions have been devised by human beings to create order and reduce uncertainty in exchange. I cannot explain all these. I collected a lot of historians. I was on a Congress of Historians, by the way, to tell about some of these examples. There are a lot of examples in history, but the same problem, but the technology has changed. Here is one historical example. I chose this network example from Lübeck Hanse Merchants. Burkhardt analyzed these networks by almost 1,000 Lübeck Hanse Merchants. And in the 14th century, it was a completely family business. A century later, it became business among strangers. Why? Because in the meanwhile, trust institutions emerged, associations, religious brotherhoods, guilds, and so on, which assigned trust, so to say. And so they could enlarge their business. And there's growth in business if you can get capital from strangers and not only from family. I mean, in many parts of the world, there are family businesses, because if there is a weak state, then a family is a trusting institution. But it is not, of course, not economically efficient. So now we observe in the past decades a completely new form of business transactions. There is a huge expansion of digital markets. You know many of them. There are also some niche markets, like or matching processes, the ancient Latin language and enthusiasts, for example, or a new startup, BeeRent. They rent beehives to farmers. And there's also an illegal group, Deutsche Forschungsgruppe, or DFG. They called it DFG. And if you want to have a shortcut for your dissertation, you can apply at this Ukrainian website. There's also in the darknet, and Wojtek will talk about this tomorrow, there are drugs, porn, weapons, and I found a meta list. I didn't go in the sites itself, didn't want to do this, on hitman sites. By the way, there are no hit women, maybe it's a gender aspect. There are hitman sites, and there's reputation. There is proof of work. So if the ladies here want to dispose their husband, I do not recommend to go on the hitman site, because I hope it is fake. Yeah, you send bitcoins in advance, and then probably nothing will happen. I hope so, at least. But don't annoy me, son. Almost all digital markets implemented reputation systems, and the worldwide web technology is optimal for reputation systems. There's easy access, there's transparency, there's information costs are almost zero, and there's a speed of information. And how does the market work? Many of you know about it. There are two sides, a seller and a buyer, and both are protected. So now this institution emerged, so to say, that a seller is protected by advance payment of the buyer. This is not a necessary development, but it has evolved in this way. The buyer is protected by information on seller's reputation. But the system requires that the seller has an incentive to invest in reputation, and that's a premium on reputation, and there are a lot of replicable results. There's a lot of evidence for this effect. We contributed to this research. There are many studies about this. Here are five studies of our group, and what you can see is that there's always a positive effect on the price by favorable ratings, and a negative effect by negative ratings. And the negative effect is usually larger than the positive effect. So there is a premium on reputation, and the seller has good reason. Even bad guys have a reason to invest in reputation and to behave cooperatively. It's, so to say, it's a very well working system. So now, the Achilles heel of the system is the feedback system, because this is a collective good, and there is a problem of free riding. And probably because that, eBay established an open two-sided rating system in the beginning, because then sellers and buyers have an incentive to give positive ratings because they expect reciprocation of positive ratings. But the system is not honest and leads to lying because you have the fear of retaliation. We can learn by our studies about actors' motives from digital process data. We did this in a large study with almost 200,000 DVDs and mobile phone data. What you can see here very briefly is that in the 90 days period, in the end of this period, say these are the negative feedback, and they give negative feedback in the end to avoid retaliation. Same with the DVD. This pattern is very characteristic. And there's also immediately reply of a bias response if the seller responded before, and even stronger for the seller. So this is strong evidence for strategic reciprocity, but there's also evidence for altruistic reciprocity. I call it altruistic reciprocity because a buyer has nothing to win if he is the last rating the transaction, if he doesn't come back to the same seller. So there's both. And now some problems with the digital markets, with the rating system. Strategic rating leads to dishonest ratings, but new institutional regulations may help. And there are many, many, and this is the interest to study causally what were effects, what different effects are there by different alternative regulations. For example, a two-sided double-blind system eliminates the fear of retaliation and increases the honesty of the system. But the platform people fear that it the system would fail because of free rider problem. If there are homo economicus free riders, then the system would collapse. However, our findings suggest there's both strategic and altruistic rating. So therefore, a double-blind system may be stable. And there's more evidence on that. There's this very, very nice study by Bolton, Greiner, and Ockenfels, and they get access to the data from Rent-A-Coder. Rent-A-Coder, a computer programmer you can rent. And the system changed. This is an intervention study, so to say. They changed the regulation that they introduced a blind system in May 2005. What happens? Still, there is a very large rating from both sides, yeah, and strategic rating goes down, went strongly down. So you can afford such a system, yeah. But this was not ex ante clear, and you have to figure out by empirical studies or by experiments or intervention studies that it works. There's another ugly point in these digital markets. You see, I will write a compelling and positive appraisal of your book for you for just $1.05. Yeah, if you write a book on Amazon, so you can buy some favorite comments if you want. And there's also you can buy likes very cheap. Millions of likes for Facebook, and there's also negative reviews if you want to punish your competitors. So very bad things, but that happens. Yeah, and how to figure out or how to avoid these fake reputations? There are some antidotes against this, and very briefly, we already spoke about the blind, the two-sided system. There are statistical methods to identify fake ratings. Then, very important, fake ratings should be costly. And whitewashing, that means that you change your identity after cheating. Whitewashing should be costly. And compare eBay. In eBay, it is costly. At least you have to buy the product, and then you can perform your rating task. And it is also costly to change your identity. Whitewashing is costly. It's completely different on TripAdvisor. Yeah? Do you believe in TripAdvisor? So I suppose there are much more fake reports on TripAdvisor than on eBay. And on TripAdvisor, you just have to certify. I went on TripAdvisor, I registered, I certified that this review is based on my own experience, and so on, and so on, and that I have no personal or business relationships, and have not been offered any incentive or payment, and so on. You just have to click on this, and that's it. So, in the end, I think, and now, so to say, the political part of my speech, I think there's now some change in markets and in general with reputation scores. There are two major trends. One is that the trust problem is more and more solved by the methods of, so to say, restriction in the trust game. That means that this part is cut off, so to say, and by different devices, escrow service, PayPal, and particularly new trust institutions, new technologies, like smart contracts and blockchain technology. Not far from here, in Canton Zug, there's Crypto Valley, so to say. There's a new programming language, Ethereum. The cryptocurrency is called Ether, and the shortcut for it is ETH, the new currency. And but I do not know how these smart contracts solve for the incomplete contract problem. I mean, if you program for all eventualities, there are very interesting applications. For example, is neighborhoods who exchange solar energy, also on with all their preferences. A very complicated contract. Anyway, there are still a lot of problems with this. And more important, a second trend is the increase in non-market reputation scores. And I'm very skeptical about the extension on reputation scores to other fields. There are scoring algorithms of health, payment patterns, credit, mobility, driving behavior, and some put all this information together. There are numerous sensors and devices, the Internet of Things. And all of you have heard of the horrible Chinese surveillance system and the social credit score. There are now pilot projects, but they want to extend it countrywide. And the most perfidious feature of this system is that you might have a score because you care for your parents, you do not politically protest, you do not drink too much, your whatever. But if you are together, if you have social ties with friends who have low scores, and this devalues your own score. Think about what happens for the social networks. If you cut the ties to all your friends who have lower scores. And there's a polarization in social networks. And the consequences of such a system is, of course, many people will game the system. They will find methods to avoid it. It will destroy intrinsic and ethical values. But the I think in the end it will create an increasingly opportunistic society. And it's not only China. There are similar tendencies in the West. There are credit scores, health scores, telemetric driving data, and so on. And I found an example. I myself asked for information from a credit office, a German credit office, and they had to tell me by law about the my score and the algorithm. And the algorithm is based, aside sociodemographics, on the credit reputation of neighbors. So if you live in a neighborhood where other people and you behave very well, your credit score is devalued and you have worse chances to get a mortgage, for example. So it is, so to say, distribution of income from bottom up. And another example I found in Zuboff, surveillance capitalism, and then I had a look for this company, is maybe some of you have this instrument. It's iRobot company, and they manufacture a new autonomous vacuum cleaner, Roomba. And this machine cleans your apartment, and it has sensors, and it registered all what's in your apartment and transmits this information to the company. Yeah, this is surveillance capitalism. Okay, I see the danger is there is increasing inequality and discrimination, or there may be increasing inequality and discrimination, and also the risk that there's the end of solidarity. Health insurance tariffs depend on sensors and telemetrics of your behavior, and it will split, polarize the society. And I think it's an important task for sociologists to explore the social consequences of digital scoring algorithms on behavior of people, on inequality, discrimination, and possibly on the polarization of the society. There is an old book by James Coleman, The Asymmetric Society, from 1982. And I think in our age, this book has a new meaning. I recommend to read it again. It's worthwhile to read it in the digital age. And there's another book, and my thesis was reputation scores are useful inventions for digital markets. They enhance trust, cooperation, and efficiency. However, non-market reputation scores may turn, and this is a nice metaphor by Cassie O'Neill, they turn in weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, and that's the great risk, and I will end here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Andreas, for this dramatic outlook on tendencies in digital societies. Yeah, we have some time for questions. Sophie Mützel is first, and we have to hand her the mobile microphone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this really interesting talk. And I was struck by your two last slides, both two important yellow books, I may add, The Asymmetric Society by James Coleman. I was curious if you could say a little bit more about what you would think Coleman 2.0 would really mean. I'm curious because I'm actually, we're writing a talk on this for early December, using both books.
Okay, that's fine. So maybe I can come to this talk as a listener. I think Coleman's Asymmetric Society in 1980, this was a situation of consumer protests. There was the big figure, Ralph Nader, as a consumer protester, and Coleman said, okay, there's a big corporations. This was maybe General Electric and United Food and whatever. And now it changed, and the big corporations are these Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and so on. Yeah, but the criticism or the split that there is they are the almighty companies who do not even pay taxes in Europe, by the way, and there is the individual with in the United States with very small rights to protect against this. In Europe, a bit more. That was the reason that I figured out my score and the algorithm. So I think we have to protect the individual, and this was the message, Coleman's message, to protect the individual, to balance somewhat more, to make the asymmetric society a bit more symmetric.
Yeah, Andreas, thanks for the inspiring talk. This was really great. I have one minor point, and I'm not quite sure about your last final sentence that non-market reputation scores are the problem and the market ones are great. So, and especially Coleman tried to model nearly everything as a market. So think about the relationship between pupils and professors.
Yeah.
And for Coleman, that was a market. Do you really want to have a reputational system in schools like this? So I'm not quite sure whether your distinction between market and non-market is really the point. Maybe it's more about the state should not engage into reputational systems.
Maybe it's not mainly the state, or the state, of course, NSA and all these other things, and Edward Snowden told us about this, but the companies maybe may collect much more data on our behavior, so it is also also this part. But I agree, I do not make a strong distinction in the market area, it's good. Outside the market area, it's bad. I said it may have risks, more risks outside the area, but there are also examples where reputation scores, say our lectures get reputation scores by the students, and I think that's a good system. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andreas, for this talk. I think we will have some more ideas for discussion afterwards from this talk. And we have to proceed with the program now. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.